years here all the way. Some of them I wasn't sure they were going to make it, but no, I'm just kidding. I knew all of these were going to make it. When you've been a pastor for almost 20 years in a place, most of these young people I've known since they were little bitty. And they were, some of them were just little babies, in fact. And it's a joy to see that they've grown into young men and young women who want to follow after the Lord, who desire to seek Him. I've got good news this morning. I found out that I'm going to have a lawyer in case I need to be defended. I found out that I'm going to have an AC guy in case my air conditioner breaks. I'm going to have an accountant to do my taxes from now on. And I'm going to have someone help me write journalism if I need an article written. So, and then I'm going to have somebody teach me how to dance. Well, I haven't learned that yet. But anyway, God's good. Today is the beginning of a great week for these young men and women. As you know, each year on this Sunday, I address the graduates, but I also address everyone that's here today, because these are words that I think can encourage them also. This Thursday, they will graduate from Burleson. I don't know if y'all graduate on Burleson on Thursday. What day is it? Next, okay. And then Joshua's on Thursday. But we're so proud of each of you for your great accomplishments. And boy, a lot of them have a lot of smarts, by the way. Isn't that great? I know they got it from their parents. Some of them are very bright. They've decided to go to the University of Oklahoma instead of Texas A&M University. I couldn't pass that up. Sorry, girls. I couldn't pass that up. But anyway, there's going to be a lot of people giving you advice on this week. Everybody will be telling you. Some will be saying, welcome to the new world. And your parents are going to be there to do everything for you. They'll be giving you several advices, but I want you to know that there's several myths that also are given. The world will say to you that you can be anything that you want to be, but I tell you today, you can be anything you want to be with God's help. My Bible still says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without Him, we're nothing. With Him, all things are possible. Now, some people will tell you also that when you're off to college, you got to try a few things. And I want you to know you don't have to do that. You can still walk in the ways of God. You will be offered things such as drugs and alcohol and also illicit sex. But I want you to know that is not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life is that you would live godly. That you, by the way, the Bible says if you sow your wild oats, there will be a harvest, because it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a person soweth, that shall they also reap. If you sow joy, you'll get joy. If you sow bitterness, you'll get bitterness. I'm going to encourage you to show thankfulness. God has been speaking to my heart these last couple of weeks, because I too have a grandson that's graduating this week. Andrew and I are going to be going for that graduation there at Bells High School. Our oldest grandson, Zach, will be graduating. We're proud of him. And the other night, one of those nights that I had trouble sleeping, about 4 in the morning, I got up and I wrote notes to my grandson. They're written out like this, but they're notes that I would share with any graduate, and that's how I come to you today. And I want to address these. I'm going to be giving them to him this week as part of his graduation gift from his papa. He'll be getting a little bit more than these notes, but I won't tell you what that more is. But I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to do that. But I want to encourage you to look back and be thankful. Thankful for the people. You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't people who invested in your life. People who invested in you from education standpoint, teachers that invested you, that went the extra mile for you to help you to learn, and your parents who helped you do so many things. Sometimes they even helped you with some of those school projects. And thank God for parents that got you up, that fed you breakfast, that took you to school, that went to all your activities. And I mean, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of activities. Andrew and I right now are trying to stay up with 9 grandchildren. You think that's not difficult? It's very difficult. I ended up this week going to Texas A&M, watching our granddaughter play in the Texas State Tournament for 2A girls singles. She did pretty good. She lost 6-4, 7-6, but we were proud of her. She was one of 8 girls that competed in that competition. And then we went Saturday to see our 2 grandsons, Michael's 2 sons, play in a soccer tournament over in Granbury. And I tell you what, you'll be busy as a grandparent. One day these graduating seniors will grow up, they'll get married and get ready. Parents, you think it was hard raising kids? It's a joy to raise grandkids, because you can, as I said last week, you can spoil them and send them home. It's a joy to do that. But I want you to look back and be thankful, graduates. I want you to look up and be grateful to the Lord, because without Him, you wouldn't be where you are today. With God's help, all things are possible. And then I want to encourage you to look totally in the eyes of the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him in the days ahead. I want to challenge each and every graduate today. Several life verses that I have that I want to challenge you, just like I would challenge my grandson, Zach. First of all, I give you the verse of Matthew 6:33. If you have a copy of the scripture, you can turn there this morning, because I think this is a life verse that every person ought to have. You know, in Matthew chapter 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And basically, if you wanted to sum up that Sermon on the Mount in 2 words, those 2 words would be different. What God wants you to be is be different. He doesn't want you to be like everyone else. He doesn't want you to cave in to peer pressure. He wants you to be a different person that lives for Him. And in chapter 6, he's talking about several things. He's talking about things, treasures we have. And by the way, more people are concerned about treasures than they are about the kingdom of God. And he addresses it in Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't lay up treasures on this earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. That's what we should be doing. But then he says that, don't you see the birds, how they do not toil, how God takes care of the birds, how God takes care of the flowers. And he says, don't be concerned about what you're going to wear or where you're going to live, because God will take care of you. And then in verse 33, he sums it all up by saying this, but, in other words, in contrast to the Gentiles, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to challenge you today, graduating seniors and every member of this church, to seek God's kingdom first, to put Him first place in your life, to allow Him to be on the throne of your life. As you've heard your pastor say many times, there is no 2-seated thrones. Only one person can sit on the throne of your life, and that person must be the Lord. Seek first, above everything else, God's kingdom. By the way, God's kingdom is His rule and reign in our lives. And I want to challenge every one of us today, as I challenge graduating seniors, to put the Lord in His right place in the coming days. I want to challenge our graduating seniors, when you go off to college, find a church that you can attend. Be active in a church. And continue in the Word of God, and allow God to continue to speak to you, because you're at the place where you could really continue to grow. One of the things about my grandson that I'm the proudest about is not all of his accomplishments academically, or that he could play about 5 or 6 instruments, but the proudest thing I am about my grandson is he seeks after God. The last year he's been leading a Bible study of his peers on Monday night. They meet every Monday night, and they study the Word of God together, and he leads that Bible study. And I want you to know that I hope you'll find a group of Christian friends when you go off to college, that you can study the Word of God together, that you can be there together, you can encourage each other, hold each other accountable, but you've got to seek first the kingdom of God. Secondly, I would say to my grandson, and I'd say to you today, the verse, one of my life verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I share with you today that you got to trust. That word means to depend on, to lean on. Every one of us in this building are leaning on someone or something. I want you to know the only one who is trustworthy is the Lord. I hate to tell the graduating seniors, people are going to disappoint you. And you've seen that as you've been growing up. People will disappoint us. Friends will disappoint us. Family will disappoint us. But I want to tell you, the Lord has never disappointed me. I can put my trust in Him and lean not on my own understanding. In other words, I'm not going to understand all the ways of God. His ways are past finding out. In fact, sometimes God's going to lead your path where you go through a valley. Sometimes it's going to be a dark valley, but then He'll lead you up to the mountaintop. But we got to go through the valley to get to the mountain. And God will lead us through the thick and thin, through difficult times and joyous times. He's the God of the mountain, and He's the God of the valley. But I want you to hear this today. How do we know the difference? The difference is found in prayer. The difference is found in prayer. How do we know what God is doing in our life? Well, James 1:5 says this, but if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. If you don't understand what's going on in your life, seek the Lord. Find Him. And when you find Him, He'll show you His way and will for your life. Because it says, in all your ways, know Him, acknowledge Him. And listen to what He says. He says, I will direct your path. And literally, that means God will make your path straight in the Hebrew. God will make your path straight, but you must do the first three things. You must trust in the Lord with all your heart. You must lean not on your own understanding, and you must know Him. And the way you know Him is by daily being in His presence in prayer and in the Word. When you go off to college, by the way, I want you to know there's going to be a lot of things pulling at you. You're going to want to do academics, and I hope every one of you do great in academics. But I want you to know the greatest thing you can do is seek God. The greatest thing you can do is know Him. And when you know Him, you will know exactly His plan for your life. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The third thing that I would say to my grandson, and I would say to you today, is remember the faith. 2 Timothy 1, 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. He's 30 years younger than him. And he says, I want you to remember the faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother. Listen to me. I want each and every one of us to remember that faith. Remember that faith that was in your, and I tell him, in your great-grandfather and in your mother, in your papa and nana and in your parents, which I know is in you. And by the way, I know many of you have met the Lord. All of you have met the Lord. And you need to continue in the ways of God. And God will bless you not only temporarily, He will bless you eternally as a result of that. But you must remember the faith. But don't live in fear, live in faith. In that same text, in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says this to young Timothy. He says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, of discipline. And God will be with you. You don't have to walk in fear, but you must walk in faith. 2 Timothy 1, 5 and 7. The fourth thing I would say to graduating seniors today is Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to turn there if you would this morning. Jeremiah 29. Many of you know this verse. In fact, my grandson's graduation announcement to us, he had this verse on his announcement. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. God's people are going to come under captivity by the Babylonians. That's going to last for 70 years. 70 years. And he's trying to challenge them. He's trying to say, listen, I do have a plan for your life. By the way, I want you to know, church, I believe America is in captivity today. We're in captivity to the evil one, the devil. What took place down at Santa Fe High School was of the evil one, the devil. And we need to understand that that young man, we need to pray for him too. We need to pray for his salvation. We need to pray that he would turn his heart towards God. And I pray that'll happen. In fact, this week we got a letter in the mail. We get letters all the time from prisoners. Brother Danny went to prison last Thursday, by the way. I forgot to mention that. This morning he had 35 men pray to receive Christ Thursday night. Praise God. God's still working, folks. He's still working through our church and through the ministries of our church as we continue to go and share. But I got a letter from a guy. He says, hey, I never thought I would get parole, but I got parole. All this time, he's been receiving devotionals that we send out to prisoners in many prisons. Anyone who asks for one, they get it for free. 7 days a week, those devotionals. By the way, they're out there. If you go out the doors, the middle doors to the left, on a table there, those devotionals are there if you would like to have a devotional to follow in your walk with God. But they received these, and he was writing us a letter, and he was thanking us for sending those devotionals. And he said, hey, I'm not going to need to receive them anymore, because in 1 month I'm going to be free. I have received my parole. And thank God we invested in that young man's life, and he will forever be changed, folks. But we live in a world of captivity. The enemy wants to destroy our lives. I want you to know that God has a plan for every one of our graduating seniors. And God has a plan for every one of us that are here. And he says to them in Jeremiah, look at it in verse 11 of chapter 29. Excuse me. I know the plans that I have towards you, saith the Lord. Plans of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end and a hope. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And he says in verse 14, don't miss it, I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Folks, I've got good news this morning. God has a plan for our life. It's a plan for good, not evil. God has a plan for every graduating senior. He has a plan for everyone that's here. And God's plan is he wants to turn your captivity. By the way, if you're here today without Christ, you're captive to the enemy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, who has blinded your mind lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine forth. And you can be delivered from the captivity of sin, and you can be brought from the miry clay, and you can have your feet put on the rock. You can be taken out of darkness and brought into light this morning. You can be taken out of your old way of life where you are dead in trespasses and sins. You walked according to the one who is the prince and power of the air, the enemy, and God will deliver you today. He will forgive you of all your sins and give you a brand new start. God wants to deliver you from captivity. But for some today, you can be caught in captivity. When you go away from your parents, they're not there to remind you of things. They're not there to help you and to maybe give you some clear direction. And by the way, let me tell you what. Your parents will always be there for you. Even if you mess up, your parents will be there for you. They love you. They have a wonderful desire to help you, and your church family wants to be there for you. Your pastor is available to you. You have my phone number. You can call me anytime. That's important to me, that you stay in touch, that we continue to help you. Brother Ricky will be available to you as you have his number, and he'll help you as you continue in the ways of God. But he says for them, he says, I have a plan for you. It is a plan for good and not evil. Notice, he didn't say, I want you to seek freedom. He says, I want you to seek me. Don't miss that. I want you to seek me. And if you seek me, he says, everyone who seeks me will find me. Everyone who seeks me will find God's will. Everyone that seeks me will understand my plan that's for good and peace for your life. Everyone who seeks me will find me when they search for me with all their heart. And he says, I will turn away your captivity. There's people that come to church every Sunday that are captive. They're captive to their past. They're captive to guilt. They're captive to sin, things they've done that they haven't even forgiven themselves. They're captive to their past. But I want to tell you, I've got good news today. God will deliver you. Now, don't forget, for those 70 years they were in captivity, a lot of people say, well, that's a mess. Nothing came out of that. But I want you to know that is not true. I want to make it very clear to you what happened in those 70 years. Listen to me this morning. I want you to know that was the time that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up in that captivity and said, our God is able to deliver us. We will not bow down to those idols. We will not bow down to the idols of the world. We will bow down only to God. And they went in the fiery furnace. Not one hair of their head was singed. The smell of smoke was not on their clothes. They were delivered because what happened? God went with them in the fiery furnace. And the God who went with them in the fiery furnace will go with you in the fiery furnace. That was the time that Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. And the angel was sent to shut the mouth of the lions because Daniel prayed 3 times a day and he did not ever give up. It was the time, by the way, in that 70 years, listen to this, 1st and 2nd Kings was written. 1st and 2nd Chronicles was written. Also Lamentations and Ezekiel and Daniel was written in those 70 years and Psalm 137. It was not a time of captivity where nothing was taking place. God was still at work. And I want you to know today, God is still on his throne. He's still at work and he wants to work in your life, graduating seniors, and he wants to work in every person's life that's here today. He wants to turn away your captivity and give you an expected end and hope. Number 5 that I would share with my grandson is Philippians 4, 6 and 7, 11, 13, and 19. And I wish I had time to go there this morning, but I don't. So I want to try to finish early, believe it or not. That'll be a miracle, won't it? For you who know me. But notice what it says. Catch this. It says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Now, you say, hold it, Brother Jerry. Do you ever worry about things? Absolutely, I do. But I want you to know that the key to not worrying is, he says, but by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What's the opposite of worrying? Prayer. I'm going to tell you, as soon as you start worrying about a test, get on your knees and say, God, I've studied for this test. And by the way, if you hadn't studied for the test, don't ask God to do a divine intervention. Don't put the book underneath the pillow and think you're going to get it by osmosis. You got to study. But if you have studied, you say, God, as I go into this test, I want you to give me recall. I want you to give me wisdom and help me through this, and he will help you. You don't need to be worrying about things. You need to pray about everything. And then he says in verse 7, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind. Where's the enemy attack us? Graduating seniors, right here in your mind. Right here in your heart are the issues of life, the Bible says. And God's peace will march around. Corporal peace will march around your heart and your mind in the days ahead. And then you know verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will give you strength for the journey. We're never alone, as Brother Gene sang. God's with us. And then verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know about you. I'm thankful for a God that supplies every need we have. Aren't you? Has he supplied something for you this week? Say amen. Has he answered your prayer? Say amen. Have you seen him provide for you financially? Say amen. He has. God's been faithful to us, folks. Faithful, faithful is our God. And I want to tell you, graduating seniors, God will provide for you. He will help you as you depend on his power, his provision, his peace. Those things will be with you as you don't worry about anything but trust in God. Number 6, quickly, John 16:33. I must add this to the list. Add to the list as I wrote this. And by the way, I want you to know this is really a miracle. I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. You realize I wrote this in about 35 minutes, all these words. And it's 4 in the morning. I don't know about you, 4 in the morning, I'm a little groggy. But all week long, God been bringing verses to me. What would I share with my grandson as he graduates? And I just sat down with paper in the living room and turned the light on in the darkness and just started writing and wrote these verses. Didn't look them up. God already planned them in my heart. And I thank him for that. But John 16:33 says this, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, the Lord says, I have overcome the world. I wished I could tell you, graduating seniors, that we live in a perfect world, but we don't. The days ahead for you, some of them are going to be difficult. You will have trials. James says, count it all joy when the trial comes. He didn't say if they would come. It says when they come. So you're going to have trials. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to face things that are we don't understand. Last night, Andrew and I watched a program on 48 Hours on Channel 11. We had special interest in that program. Is about a young lady named Jennifer Harris. And she went to Bonham High School with our oldest daughter, Chrissy. Someone murdered her. And they cut up parts of her body. And they dumped her in the Red River. That's been 15 years ago. Still not sure who did it. What happened down in Santa Fe, I can't begin to understand or explain. Trials will come your way. Many of you know, you prayed for me, graduating seniors, when you were younger, 8 years ago, when I was diagnosed with a cancer that was incurable. I'm in remission now. There's no cure for it still. Only 15,000 people in the United States have it, this type of cancer, mantle cell lymphoma. But this church prayed for me, and the rate that would say, hey, only 20% are going to live from this, is I took 6 different types of chemo and 17 units of blood and went through all of that. But because of the support of this church and the prayers of the saints and the awesome mighty God that we have, that is Jehovah Rapha, I stand here today. Oh, I'm still taking treatment. I'm still taking treatment for my immune system that was destroyed through the chemotherapy. Every 3 weeks I have a port in my chest here. But you know what? I thank God every day that he's given me another day to live. You will face a trial. I pray it will never be cancer. I pray you'd never face a heart attack. But you will face trials. And by the way, some trials are for perfection, as O.S. Hawkins in his book on James is going to tell you there. But some are for correction. How do you know the difference? By prayer. Say, God, are you allowing this trial to come in my life to perfect me or to correct me? Help me to understand. Number 7, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul comes to the end of his life, and he makes a statement of faith. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me on that day, but not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I want to tell you, graduating seniors, you're in for a fight. The devil and his demons will try to take you out. They'll try to take you out in various ways. But I want to tell you, fight the good fight. It's worth fighting. Don't ever, ever, ever give up. Finish the course that God has placed you on and keep the faith, that faith, and you will have an eternal reward that God will give you. Praise God for that. And last, I want to remind you, you're not alone. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, for consider him, lest you give up and faint in your minds. In closing, I want to say to you, keep your eyes on the Lord. He is the author and finisher of your faith. Finish strong for God. I pray when you come to the end of your life, you'll be able to say, you know what? I stayed with God all the way. I finished strong. I kept the faith. I finished it. Don't ever give up. Don't give in to peer pressure. Oh, yes, we can fool ourselves, but there's drugs everywhere today, folks. And don't be deceived today. Probably before long, it will become a recreational part of Texas, as it has many other states. But I want to tell you today, turn aside from drugs. Turn aside from alcohol. It'll destroy your life. Turn aside from premarital sex and live for God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Stay in the Word daily. Pray without ceasing. And then last, I'm going to challenge you to be a Barnabas. We live in a day and time there's very few encouragers anymore. There's somebody who's going to need you. There's going to be an outcast that could need you. There's going to be somebody at college that you can disciple. You've grown up in a church that has discipled you. We send you off as an ambassador for Christ, as an ambassador for Lane Prairie Baptist Church, and we pray that God will richly use you. And I want to tell you today, we pray for you, that God will bless your life above measure, that he'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the days ahead will be wonderful, wonderful days in your life. We're proud of you, graduating seniors, and may God richly bless your heart. For some here today, I mentioned you're in captivity to sin, and you've never given your life to Christ. We would be remiss today if we didn't give you an opportunity to do that. We'll have our pastors standing here at the front. All you got to do is take a step out in that aisle. The first step's the hardest step, but if you feel that tug, that's the Holy Spirit calling you. Take that step and come and say to the pastor, I need Jesus. And we'll sit down and share with you how you can invite the Lord in your life. Others here today, you've been visiting our church, and maybe this is the place where God wants you to unite with a church fellowship. I want you to know this church will love you, they will pray for you, they will support you, they will encourage you. That's this type of church we have. We invite you to come be a part. And maybe there's some adults here today, and maybe you've gotten off the path that God wanted you to go on. It's never too late to turn back and get back with God and serve Him with gladness. Let's stand. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, Brother Jake's going to lead us in a song. And this is an invitation for you today. Just come as God calls you right now. Come. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have of being here today. I thank you for these graduating seniors. I thank you for their parents that have loved them and taken care of them since they were little babies. And now today, they're so proud of their young men and women that are going to be graduating this week. May you bless them above measure, and may you touch them. May you put your arms around them and guide them in the coming days. We give you this time. I pray for the one who needs Christ, they would come today. For the ones who need to come and join this church, they would come today. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come now, as God calls you, come. Baccalaureate service to get to this afternoon, and they'll get to hear another message, and thank God for that. But again, I would say, as pastor, I'm so proud of each and every one of you graduating seniors, and it's been a joy to be your pastor and to continue to be your pastor. And as I said, we're available to you. If you don't have my number, you see me before you go off to college. You might need me. And talk sometime. I would be glad to pray with you over the phone. That's my joy. That's the privilege of being a pastor. But we love you, and I'm so thankful for what God's done in your life. Brother Rick.
This time of year, we got a lot of stuff coming up in the life of our church. Insert in your bulletin is on VBS. That's going to be June the 11th to the 15th. Registration is online. I know we've already had people registering for quite a while now, but you can use this to invite. We've been handing these out as we go out on Monday evenings to do visitation and outreach and talk to people about if they know Jesus. So if you want to help us with that, we could always use more help. And I know coming up in June the 4th, I think we're going to have a big push to try and cover several areas and invite people to VBS. So we're going to be doing that. On your bulletin, Cody Wilhelm is going to be the staff person on call this week. His number is there. Senior sing-along is coming up this week. We're going to be hosting here at Lane Prairie this Wednesday, taking place at 11 o'clock here. I know this Wednesday night is going to be the end of the year Awana Bash, and they're going to be having that going on this Wednesday night. We are going to have our business meeting, just with everything going on. We're going to have a business meeting June the 3rd, that Sunday night. instead of in May, just with everything going on there. And then Ladies' Tea is coming up on June the 2nd. Leslie talked about that last week. If you're interested in doing that, see her, one of our ladies on our ladies' women's ministry. And then also the Railroaders baseball game, June the 6th, probably by this Wednesday. If you're going to sign up, I need to know. That way we can get the tickets ordered and in and get the tickets out before that day of the game. That way you'll have your tickets. But $11, June the 6th, that Wednesday evening we're going. We've got, I think, 71, 72 people signed up as of right now. So if you want to go, see me, $11, and I'll get you on the list. And then Budget Committee will need to meet at 5:30 this afternoon, just real quick, to look at financials. And I believe that's it.
Well, I told Miss Betty that I was going to really challenge senior adults. I want to see y'all come Wednesday to our senior sing-along. We do this every month. We go to North Point and we come here. Betty needs some people to help her in the kitchen, okay? What time do they need to be here, Betty? 10 o'clock. And could someone help her in the kitchen? Someone give me a hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else could help in the kitchen? I see two or three there, Miss Betty. So she needs your help. And I want to challenge you, if you're a senior adult, if you haven't been to a senior sing-along, I know some of you haven't, I want you to come this Wednesday, okay? We've been having a small group, and we used to have a big group. And so try to make it this Wednesday. They have to be here by 11 o'clock with a covered dish. The church provides chicken, okay? So you don't have to bring a meat dish. Just bring a vegetable or a dessert. And let's have a good showing this Wednesday, Lane Prairie, okay? And that we might have a wonderful, wonderful time of singing. We sing out of the Blue Book, okay? And we have some of the old songs of our faith we sing and we love. So be a part of that. Let me encourage you about that. Tonight, we look forward to our Awana banquet, recognizing our children who've done such a marvelous job this year, and we're proud of each of our children who have done that. Let's stand together. Let's join hands. Let's sing. Homebound breakfast in the morning, by the way.